We're going to begin again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and I want to read it out of the Passion Translation. And it says this: "He will keep you steady and strong to the very end, making your character mature so that you will be found innocent on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is forever faithful and can be trusted to do this in you. So God is forever faithful and can be trusted to do this in you, for He has invited you to co-share the life of His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, our King." So He wants you to co-share that life with Him. He wants you to co-share that life with Him. Now, there are some interesting things, the way that they're worded in the Bible, which blow people's minds when certain statements are made, like the one I'm about to make. And it is this: you judge God every day. You judge Him. Now, it talks in this verse, God is forever faithful. That's how you need to judge Him. Forever faithful. He is faithful to do what He said. Forever faithful to do what He said. So if He says something, He's faithful to keep it. And it's okay to judge Him. You just judge Him rightly. You judge Him that He is forever faithful. You judge Him that He is faithful to His Word. You judge Him that He is faithful to do what He said. Even in the Old Testament, they judged God. And people get really nervous. I can't judge God. You do it every day. You either judge Him faithful or unfaithful. I mean, it's a reality. We do it. When we think, God, there's no way that this could come to pass when God has said that it's ours. In honesty, we judge Him unfaithful to keep His Word. So you need to understand, we judge Him every day. You just need to judge Him rightly, which is to judge Him faithful. And you say, well, you're being a little harsh here. Well, let's go over to the book of Romans. And we'll look at this, and we looked at this not too long ago, but we're just kind of feeling out where we're going here, and I think I'm going to jump in here in just a moment, but in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." You judge Him every day. Now, the important thing about these two verses is you need to understand. Let's go back to verse 3. He says, For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The essence of what that verse says is nobody else's. He's asking it as a question, but I'm going to present it as the answer. Nobody else's unbelief will make God unfaithful to His Word for you. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the President of the United States. I don't care if it's your husband or wife. I don't care if it's your child. I don't care if it's your neighbor. I don't care if it's some authority in the earth. What they have to say will not keep God from being faithful to you concerning His Word. And you need to get that in you. This is a reality. He keeps His Word. It tells me in Titus 1 and verse 2, He cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, and it talks about by two immutable things in which it is impossible for Him to lie. God can't lie. So if we meet the qualifications, He will always keep His Word. He'll do His side of the equation, always. And you need to get to that point where you can judge Him faithful when it doesn't look like it. When it doesn't feel like it, when everybody's saying the opposite, you judge Him faithful no matter what. So we need to learn to judge God faithful. Now, this is how Jesus always lived, and this is how He wants us to live. In that perfect harmony between us and the Father. And you say, well, that was Jesus. He was God the Son. Yeah, that was Jesus. But he did it as an example for us. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, I know I go here all the time. Seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is he talking about there? He's talking about God's plan for your life. So he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we supposed to do this? You go in on into verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the way that it's actually written is the author and finisher of faith. He is the one who showed it. He is the initiator of faith. He's the one who, he's the first one upon the pathway of faith to show us how it worked. And he also is the finisher or the completer, or you could put it this way, the one who did it perfectly to show us how it's done. He completed it. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, again, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Well, we're to walk the walk, we're to talk the talk, we're to live the life that he was living on the earth in conjunction with him. Not saying to him, Jesus, we're going to go and do this, you're invited to come along. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. The way that it is supposed to be is, Almighty God, you have steps for me to take. This is the life of Jesus in the earth today. You show me those steps and we'll walk them out together. Just as if Jesus were physically here walking these steps, I will walk these steps in the way that he did. And we talked about three different main things that we were looking at concerning the life that he has for us. And we looked at love and the walk in love. And that's real important. You're not going to have this life that he has for you without walking in love. It's just not going to happen. Now we're talking about faith. And as we talk about this, we understand that he walked by faith. And people think that he didn't. He did. He had to walk by faith. You understand that he had a body just like you and I do. He was tempted to not get up in the morning. He was tempted to do something that was not the Father's will. And you say, oh no, not Jesus. Oh yeah. If he wasn't, the Bible's a lie. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that he was tempted in all points as we are. People think this temptation is too much for me. It's just way too much. I just can't handle it. I give in because it's too much. Well, that's a lie. If you're a born-again believer, that's a lie. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. One translation puts it this way, common to human experience. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to human experience. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may bear up under it. In other words, any temptation that comes your way, he will show you the door out. There is never too much for you. He faced every temptation that we do. Oh, this is just too much for me. I can't handle this. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your flesh may be dealing with some things that your flesh is having trouble overcoming. And I'm not saying that there's not issues like that. I'm just saying that there is always victory in the will of God for you in every situation, every temptation, every trial, every test, everything that we go through. And the reality of the walk that you have, the life that you have, the call that you have, is you're going to have some difficulties along the way. And that was the other thing that I talked about, was Jesus suffered. So we have love, we have suffering, But the things he suffered for us, we do not have to suffer. The things he suffered for us, we don't have to suffer. There are things he suffered as an example. You're going to deal with people. You're going to deal with difficult people. You're going to have to bring your flesh under. That's suffering. People don't understand that. Your flesh will suffer, and you better make it suffer, because if your flesh isn't suffering, you're living in the flesh. So when we talk about these things, we need to understand Jesus lived this way, and this is the way we're to live. And again, we're talking about faith now. So when we talk about faith, we need to use the example that was set before us, and Paul even talked about it. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That in a better translation, and more your more modern translations put it this way, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he also said, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So if you see people that are people of faith and patience, and they're walking in the promises of God, you can imitate them. I don't mean you do everything that they do. What you can do is look at them and understand the principles by which they live. That's the thing about Paul's life. That's the thing about Peter's life. Neither one of those two men were perfect. I can show you where they missed it, both of them, in the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God shows the it exposes humanity with all of its warts. I mean, you see it. You see Paul and Peter butting heads. I mean, they butted heads. Paul dealt with him face to face. And Jesus had walked with Peter. And Paul faced him down. I think of Paul being about this tall and Peter being a little taller. That's why I put it that way. That's just my imagination. I have no idea how tall they were. But we see that they weren't perfect people. But we can look at the principles in their lives. And that's why the Word of God is so good, because it shows us the principles. Now, I suppose I could open my notes and we could begin looking at what I've got here, because it's really good. My notes are always good. We just don't always get to them. Hey, I got to the first two verses already. All right, so when we talk about faith, we are intended to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's a reality. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verses that go along with that, of course, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, when he makes these statements, this is not man speaking. It says in, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I believe it is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when it says by inspiration, that means it is God-breathed. So all the Scriptures, now if you want to argue, well, I understand Jesus and his life, that was Scripture, but I'm just not sure. Well, Peter, who walked with Jesus, called Paul's writings Scripture. So if you got a problem with it, take it up with God. Because he's the one who put it in there. So all of this Scripture is given and breathed by God himself. That means that it was given by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is interwoven with the very fabric of the Word itself. You can get into I've said this before, and I'll say it over and over again. The two great arenas of learning to walk with God are Word and prayer. Getting into the Word of God and into prayer. Because when you're into the Word of God, the Spirit of God is in it. And when you're into prayer, you should be in communion with the Spirit of God, and you learn to flow with Him. So you actually learn to flow with the Holy Ghost when you're reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God has the Spirit of God in it, so much so that He will guide you just as much as He does in a service from one point to another point. He will do that in the Word. The more you're in the Word, the more you develop the ability, and it really is just understanding the flow of the Spirit. So get into the Word of God, and you will begin to recognize the flow of the Spirit greater and greater. So we're to walk by faith, and that is not just my opinion, that's God's Word. Now, Ms. B., who was your favorite country artist of all time? George Jones. Okay. Frank, who was your favorite singer of all time that you can think of? Elvis Presley. Okay. Linda, what about you? Don Williams. So, we've got some people in here that have done some Christian music, but they're not Christian artists. Now, the amazing thing is, these people made millions of dollars singing. I mean, millions of dollars. We still use the name of Elvis very highly. Elvis has left the building. We've all heard that. His name still carries a lot of weight today. I mean, you know, so we have these people that have made millions upon millions of dollars with talent. But God did not say that you were to live or to walk by your talent. He said you're to live or to walk by faith. So it's not left in the arena of talent. And this is where so many people look at other people and they say, man, they're so talented. And they think, I can never achieve what they can achieve. Quit comparing talent. Walk by faith and you will fulfill your call. Because your call is not based on your talent. Your call must be walked out in faith. God did not intend for you to just live this life on talent. Talent is great. And I thank God for the people that are singers that have talent. Because I've heard a lot of singers that don't have talent. And it is a hard thing to listen to. I mean, you see people up there and you know, the beat is going and they're... I mean, they can't keep a... They just can't keep a beat. And I'm not criticizing people. I'm saying talent doesn't matter concerning your calling. Walking by faith does. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need the talent. You need to develop what you have. But quit looking at talent and saying, if I just had their talent, I would fulfill my call. Because they have a call as much as you do. And that call, just like Jesus' call, must be walked out in faith. It can't be walked out any other way. So we have a call, and we're to walk that call out by faith. Now, there are a couple of different things about faith that we need to understand. And we tend to lean toward one direction and have a little bit more understanding, some anyway, concerning this area of faith rather than the other. And we'll talk about both of them, because both are absolutely vital. But we have the faith and we have faith. And too many people that are in the faith think they're in faith. And they're not. You can be in faith for one thing and not for another. You can have great faith in one area and in another area, very weak faith. And you can be in the faith and know nothing about walking by faith and not experience God's blessings for you because you're doing everything by the sweat of your brow, the wit and the will of man, and you're accomplishing it by yourself. And that's never God's intention. God's intention was that we walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, it makes a massive difference because we're going to fulfill the call when we walk by faith. Now, concerning this, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Or I could put it this way, you cannot exercise faith beyond your actual knowledge of God's will. Concerning the things of God. You can believe certain words that are spoken which are opposed to God and opposed to His will, and you can still, by faith, receive them, but you're working with the wrong party, because you're working with the devil then. And people do it all the time. I know of a man, didn't know him personally, recognized him, been in meetings where he was at. Just very distinct looking man. And he died here recently. He was a Rhema grad. And I don't know what year. I think he graduated maybe 89. And I graduated in 93. So our paths maybe passed while I was there, if he was at meetings or something. And he'd been preaching the gospel for many years. He had sat under Kenneth E. Hagin. He had had some of the finest teachers in the world. I mean, in the world. You guys have listened to Keith Moore. There isn't much. I mean, you listen to him, it's just like, man, this is so rich. We sat under Keith Moore. Patsy Caminiti. Of course, Kenneth Hagin. Both Kenneth E. Hagin and Kenneth W. Hagin. And so he had sat under all these men. Well, you can be in the faith, and you can even be in faith. But when you hear something, and this will actually work, and we'll talk about the second kind of the second area of faith that we need to deal with. We'll talk about it first here. But this man began listening to all of the news and all of the reports about COVID. I don't know him personally. You know, I mean, I knew who he was, but I know people that were good friends of his, and they have told me this. And he was invested in the study of it and understanding it. And the devil apparently at some point had whispered to him, "You get this, you'll die from it." Now, we need to be very cautious about what words we listen to. You know, Jesus, when he was confronted by the enemy, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, we have the temptation of Christ there. He's just come out of the wilderness and he's tempted. You know, he's fasted, he's weak physically. And so we have that point at which he's tempted. And the enemy says to him, just if you're the Son of God, then just turn this bread, or turn this stone into bread. What was his answer? That's right. Man shall not live by bread alone. Didn't say you didn't need bread. He said you won't live by bread alone. That's the world. They're just living by bread alone. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, we're to live by God's word. Get that. That's exactly what he said. I mean, read it. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew says in Luke's account, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we have Jesus saying it specifically. We're to live by the word of God. Apparently, a word had come to him. You get this, you'll die from it. Now, we need to be able to develop what I am going to refer to as a strong faith shield. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. And we have the armor of God. Beginning somewhere around verse 12. You know, you go down from there. Verse 12 is a good verse. And I'll probably pick up there. Actually, I'll back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, he doesn't just say be strong. He says be strong in the Lord. And he doesn't even just say that. And he says in the power of his might. He's talking about be strengthened or empowered is the way it's actually written. And it's actually written in the passive and the imperative. The passive means receive. And when I'm talking about this, be strong. Receive strength is what he's saying. And it is it's in the imperative, which means it's a command. So we're not to walk around weak. Now, this is not just talking about physical strength. Be strong in the Lord. receive. Now, man, I'm getting off, but whenever God speaks, what he says has power at the core of what he says to bring to pass what he says. I'll back up a little bit and I'll bring it to you this way. People think God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, any way he wants. And quite honestly, if he has not spoken about it, he can. But if he has spoken about it, he can't. Because God, get this, limits himself by his word. He does. Now, that blows people's minds too when I say that. But I want you to understand, he limits himself by his word, but his word is unlimited in power to perform what he says. Now, let me give you some understanding of that, because it sounds contradictory, but it's not. God says, I will do this, and I will do it this way. When he says, I will do this, he is duty-bound to do it, and when he says, I will do it this way, he must do it that way. He has no other options. But every time he speaks, there is immense power, unlimited power in the words that he says to perform what he says. So whenever he speaks, he may limit himself to how he's going to do it. He may even limit himself to when he's going to do it. God has done that before. You realize that? He gave us a time frame on when Jesus was going to come the first time. All you got to do is look at the book of Daniel. You can pinpoint when he's coming. God said he's going to do it at a time. He said he was going to do it a certain way. He said he was going to do it through a man. He was going to do it through the seed of the woman. He was going to do it through the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of David. He kept limiting himself, but there was unlimited power to perform what he said. Every time he speaks, he will limit himself in the sense when he says, I'm going to do it, he must do it. And when he says, I'm going to do it this way, he's limited to the way that he can do it. But when he speaks, the power is in his word. So every time that he speaks something, there is immense, unlimited power in that word to perform what he says. So it's good to listen to what God says. Because there is power, wonder-working power in his word. I mean immense power. I can't state that strongly enough. I love the word of God. It is a wonderful thing. It says in Psalm 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, I, your servant, love it. It actually says, your servant loveth it, but I like to put I in there. I, your servant, love it. The entrance of your word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then in Psalm, or rather in Romans chapter 1, to back what I'm saying up, he says, I am not ashamed. We mentioned this earlier, 116. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or you could put it this way, the word of God. I am not ashamed of the word of God. Why? For it is the power of God to salvation. Yes, it'll get us saved and we'll go to heaven. That word salvation is the word soteria. It means salvation, it means deliverance, it means healing, health, wholeness. You could put it this way. The word of God is the power of God unto whatever I need. In the word itself is power. So, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I guess I don't really need verse 17, verse 16 is all I need. I just have a tendency to quote the two of them together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or the word of God. For in the word of God is the power of God to perform what he says. Every time he speaks, there's power in it. And the immensity of that is something you need to get a hold of. Whenever God speaks, there's power in it. That's why we're to live by his word. We're to live by faith. We're to live by his word. Well, if we're going to live by faith, that means we're going to live by faith in his word. We're not going to live by what I feel, see, taste, my senses, or my emotions. Because your emotions are going to take you on a roller coaster ride in life. But when you're called to walk by faith, you're called to a powerful life. It's not a powerless life, it's a powerful life. And people think, well, you know, I can do whatever I want. You're a Christian, you got to live this way. Oh, man, there is nothing like the Christian life. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Miracles happen. You know, God has provided miraculously for us. You realize the very way that Jesus lived, we're to be living. We're to live that way. He lived by faith, and there were miracles. Why? Because he obeyed the voice of the Spirit, which was the command of God to him. And that's how we're intended to live. There was no doubt in him. There was no questioning in him. Going back to the man that I was talking about, the enemy apparently spoke to him at some point and said, you get COVID, you're going to die from it. He had all this study, all these things. I'm not against study. I'm not against understanding things. But out of his mouth, he said, if I get COVID, I'll die from it. And he did. Apparently, there was a seed that was planted. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. I'm going to have to really close here in just a moment. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, that you may be powerful to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. Wiles are schemes, plans, thoughts of the devil. So he has schemes, plans, and thoughts. And when you put on the armor of God, it will protect you from these things. And then we're going to go on here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our battle, no matter what it looks like, you may have someone that calls themselves your enemy. You may have someone that is absolutely opposed to the will of God. But God says they are not your enemy. The enemy is the one behind them. Now, they may have hardened themselves to the point where they will not listen to God. That's between him and them. But all I know is he said, we have an enemy, and it is not flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, in verse 16, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. This is the aspect of faith that most people don't understand. If you have a strong faith shield, then you're going to be okay. But let me tell you this. You need a strong word life. You need to have a knowing and a living in and by the word of God to have a strong faith shield. You will not have a strong faith shield without knowing and living by the word. Now, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one. Most of your more modern translations say. What are the fiery darts of the wicked one? Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. This is how he deals with you. Jesus said, and I believe it's in the book of John, he said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He even calls him a murderer. which means he is behind that as well. Now, and that's, like I said, in the book of John, you can go over into the book of Revelation, and you're going to find out that he is called many different things. The devil is. The 12th chapter, I believe it is, of Revelation. Yeah, chapter 12 and verse 9, it calls him the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan. So he's making it very clear who he's talking about here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Is there any question as to who he's talking about? That's a question for you. Is there any question? It's beyond questioning, right? He refers to him as the devil, that old serpent, Satan, and the great dragon. So he makes it very clear. And he says, which deceives the whole world. So, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that he's going to throw at you to deceive you. I know we've gone over this before, but you need a strong face shield. And what your face shield will do is you know the Word of God. And the more of the Word of God you know, and I mean truly know it, and you're living this out, and the devil comes at you with something that goes contrary to the Word of God, or it may be that it even goes parallel and just goes off a little bit. Well, if it goes parallel and then just goes off, guess what? The further you go down that pathway, the further off you are. So when we have these things, we know that that is not from God. And it will set off bells, whistles, flashing lights, alarms. Your faith is a shield that alerts you. This thought is not right. 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 This suggestion is not right. This idea is not right. And it warns you of that. A strong face shield will catch those things so that you can deal with them. So that they don't become seed planted in you that will produce after its own kind. That's what happened with that man that I was talking about. You get COVID, you're going to die from this. You get COVID, you're going to die from this. Probably the first time he heard that, he didn't buy into it. You have a strong face shield, it will set off alarms. It'll set off alarms. The thought may be, you're never going to get better. You're always going to be this way. As a matter of fact, your body's doing nothing but getting worse. You know it. Can't you feel it? Can't you feel this? Look at yourself in the mirror. You're wincing in pain. Well, my emotions and my physical senses are telling me, we got a problem. God gave us emotions and physical senses. He gave us sense receptors. He gave us nerves. He gave us all these things. They are to let me know something's wrong, but the devil will take that and say, it's over, buddy. Now, when that comes at you, it's setting off alarms. No, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That's what this is about. Your face shield catches that, and then you grab hold of it and you destroy it by putting it under the Word of God. No, that's not right. The Word of God says, and you bring it under that. You kill it with the Word of God. But weak word and a weak Word of God life, you know, a weak word life, a weak knowing and living by faith and living by the Word of God life, you're going to have a weak face shield. You'll have it set off once in a while. But you need to get to the point where it is alerting you when things are coming at you. And the only way that's going to happen is you getting into the Word of God. Being in church services, it's great. And hopefully, we teach you something. And hopefully, we're growing you up. And hopefully, you're getting more. And hopefully, you're going higher and deeper and further with God. And hopefully, you're experiencing more of Him. But you need to do this in your private time, or this time will not be what it ought be. Now, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now remember, it even refers to the Word of God. That's in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It refers to it as a two-edged sword. Without going too far, because I got to quit, it's 10 after now. The second aspect about faith is you receive what God has provided for you by faith. And the double-edged sword is really important on that, and we'll talk about that later. Father, we just thank You. This is the day that You have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Father, I never want to come across as if I'm angry or something like that. I'm just very intense, God. But Lord, Your Word has the power to set people free, has the power to deliver them, has the power to break chains, has the power to deliver from bondage, has the power to set free from addiction. It has the power, O Almighty God, to set people free in every area. It says it is for freedom that Christ made us free. So in one very real sense, we have this freedom already. We just need to be walking it out. And Jesus, You made us free, not just so that we could serve You, but so that we could be free. And we thank You for that. We thank You for that. Oh, we thank You for that. And as we go forward tonight, Almighty God, King and Lord, the One who was, is, and always shall be, the One whose Word created all things and still holds all things together, I come before You with humility, with joy, and with boldness. And I thank You that You are our shield and buckler. You are our rear guard. You go before us and behind us. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We abide under Your shadow. And we will say, oh, You are our deliverer. You are our strong tower. You are our guide. You are the One who leads us. You are our light in a time of darkness. Oh God, we have nothing to fear, nothing to fear, nothing to fear. Holy, holy, holy God. I thank You that as we depart,